This is Member Care Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
My name's Al Stewart. What can you do about burnout? How can you avoid it? How can you prevent it? Can you avoid it? Can you prevent it? What can you do to help others on your team? Well, MemCare's Scott Hollinger talked about this with Sandra Auer of Campus Crusade for Christ.
Sandra, I know that recently you wrote an article on burnout for a publication. I'd like to know what led you to write that article.
Well, I was in a group of workers who had just returned from overseas working outside the U.S., and one of those individuals described experiencing a burnout that sounded extremely, well, it was quite an acute experience. It caused her a lot of grief and eventually caused her to leave the field. And she'd been back for a couple of years when I met her in this group. In spite of those 2 years of care, she was still experiencing some effects of her burnout, what she described as burnout. And it really caused me concern to think that we would have people who are getting into that kind of a situation where they're experiencing distress to the level that it continues to affect them even after they've been removed from the field and several years later.
When it comes to burnout, I think a number of us are somewhat familiar with the symptoms, but perhaps you could just sort of give us a quick rundown of the symptoms and maybe the symptoms that she was displaying or said that she had displayed.
Well, she couldn't work any longer. She just sort of stopped in her tracks, and it didn't start that way, but that's the effect that eventually occurred that brought her home. Generally, people experience a sense of body and mental depletion. They may even feel very spiritually depleted. And it really leads to a sense of illness, even. It can make them feel sick if they don't get rest or take care of themselves quickly in a pretty big way. That long-term exhaustion will just continue to sort of haunt them and keep a person from doing their normal workload or even a smaller workload. They'll socially withdraw. They may lose or gain weight, and they may even experience some moderate or severe depression during that period. If it isn't tended, it really goes on and affects them in just about every way. I think burnout can actually be avoided. It shouldn't be happening to Christian workers on the field. If they know the signals within their own body to report ahead of time and to change their lifestyle, I think ideally we would like to prepare people better and also provide a healthy environment for them in their work environment so that they can report their own personal needs as legitimate rather than somehow burying all that until it, you know, sort of ambushes them in a big way.
What are the warning signs for somebody?
Well, I think fatigue that isn't reduced by rest. Often we'll prescribe people a week away. We'll ask them to sleep as much as they feel the need to provide balance and sunlight and fresh air and good food and exercise, those sorts of things. But if a person does report that they are sleeping a lot and yet they aren't rested when they wake, if they're more angry than normal, if they have angry outbursts that are abnormal for them, I would hope that that's abnormal for most, or if they have a lot of self-criticism, just kind of a compulsion to prove themselves over a long period of time, not just for the last 3 weeks. Those sorts of things are the kinds of things that get reported. Some people say they just feel empty inside, and no matter what they do, that doesn't change. Others may have gastrointestinal upsets. They may have frequent headaches without any kind of medical reason that's found for that. And that reminds me, too, that one of the ways that individuals get diagnosed with this kind of disorder, if you will, is by having a full physical that includes a good psychological interview. You know, we interview mm-hmm. them about their state of mind and their behaviors, if anything has changed a great deal. So there are real signs of something that we term burnout. I don't like to use that word very often. It's more important that we figure out what went wrong to bring them to this state of just lack of energy and right. the inability to focus, that kind of thing.
Well, let me give you a situation. I'm thinking of certain professions, and really radio is one of them, but medical is another, where doctors or nurses are working overseas for a Christian organization, perhaps, and they're working long hours. They're working with little help expected to come. It seems as though there is no answer for them. There's no possibility for them to take a break, and yet they should. They need to take a break to prevent the symptoms of burnout. What kind of advice can we give people who feel maybe like they're stuck in this kind of a situation?
Well, I guess we have to find out what the attitude is of the agency as well that brought them to the field. If their attitude is, we'll bring a new nurse every 3 years and we'll just work them really hard, then those nurses reporting for that kind of work would do well to understand that that's the expectation. If they get there to the field and find out that's the expectation and that they are likely to be on duty on their own or with very little support, then really it's up to the individual, that person, to ask for support or help, or to find out if the intention is that they will work very, very hard for 6 months and then have a month off, or they'll work for 2 years with only 2 weeks vacation a year, whatever. Those things need to be clarified either before or after arriving on the field. And it really is up to the individual to know their own limits, their own capacity, and to ask for help as needed. I think we often feel like we need to be superhuman. And bottom line is that nobody is.
Right.
Everybody will have a limit to their ability to work. So it's reasonable for a worker to ask for breaks, for them to establish relationships within the region where they are working, either on their own team or beyond their own team, that relationships where they aren't asked to carry the workload, but it's more of a refreshing kind of relationship.
Well, Sandra, we have talked about ways that we can prevent burnout and some of the things that people should make sure that they've got their eyes wide open regarding. But of course, as you've said, you know, we don't want people to get into a situation where they are in burnout. How do they maintain balance in their lives? What are some of the things that they can do?
Well, I think one of the big things is to go to that job and to continue to remind oneself that the job is most likely always going to be bigger than they can accomplish on their own. We can, none of us are able to carry big job by ourselves for long periods of time. So if somehow there's just an ownership of, I do have limits, I am a human being, not a human doing or a machine, that will help a lot, just to have realistic expectations of myself as I go to do whatever work I'm doing. Having done that, there are all sorts of things a person should add to their life in order to keep some balance going, to establish balance and then to recover balance when they do get out on a limb during a very heavy workload period, and then to maintain it over time. And some of those things are to establish and maintain strong relationships with people, to have a friend or two or three or four who you really can relax with and you can be totally real with and you can complain to without them kind of thinking that's a wrong thing to do. We all have our own sense of life being out of balance. We need a place to discuss that at times. Sometimes people pray together, and that's a way that they can help one another get through periods like that. Another thing to do is to just try never to work alone on a big project. Even doctors and nurses and people like that need another person. None of us have everything we need to do what's in front of us. And so we don't want to be indispensable if it's at all possible, not for long periods of time anyway. You know, setting limits on what period of time you'll work in a week or in 24 hours and somehow trying to abide by those, even though you'll stretch them now and then, and having rest and exercise built into your work day, or at least your work week, fresh air, a healthy diet, things like that. If you're going to work steadily without a break for a long time, then you need a good break at the end. And I find that it's really helpful if I see periods where I've just got to go flat out, then I will write into my schedule at the soonest date possible, 2 or 3 days to pull back and rest and kind of get my own personal life in order.
Sandra, I have appreciated everything you've said, the ways that we can set balance. And as I look at my own history with our organization, I can see where some of the things I did, and now I wish that I had done some of the others. Is there anything else that you would like to add?
Yes, I think it's important for us to know what feeds us. It's my job to know what will refresh my spirit, my mind, and my body. And if I know those things about myself, then I can fairly quickly move toward doing some of those practices in a period of recovery after a hard push. Another simple thing is to just stop the shoulds that go on in our head. We are constantly, or many of us, have our own version of I should be doing this, or others expect me to be doing something else, and here I am taking a break. And generally, should phrases aren't very helpful. They keep us from taking care of our own selves, which is really the biggest responsibility we have in life, is to care for the body that God's given us and the mind and spirit, etc. And a final thing that I see is very helpful to agency workers is just having a time to commune with more balanced people, perhaps worship together, and even discuss the ways we each do self-care and encourage one another in that. It really does help us to keep better balance, and it'll keep us out of the doctor's office and maybe delay our need for a counselor here and there as well, if we can just keep track of those things for ourselves as a part of our responsibility. So thanks for letting me talk about burnout and balance today, Scott.
Scott Hollinger talking with Sandra Auer of Campus Crusade for Christ about burnout, what causes it, and how it can be prevented, and how adding a little balance to your life can be a great help to your survival.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.